partly for how God made us wired. You know how you and I are wired so incredibly similar and so passionate to be in love with each other. So you can see that before God can give us this, he had to make sure that we wouldn't lose him in it. Not that we wouldn't lose ourselves, but we wouldn't lose him. And we would really know through experience that we will not put it or us ahead of him, that we will not love each other or our marriage more than him. You remember the Deuteronomy 8:10 that he shows us so often. Oh, God bless you, sweetheart. Baby, I'm having such a joy in my heart reading just the simple word in the Living Bible translation this morning, and I'm enjoying it so much. I thought, you know what? Let me just read it for you. I'm just so thankful, baby, that we've got all this time behind us. We've proven we can go the distance, honey, no matter how long God makes us wait. I just had this thought this morning. I'm like, God, we can do it. No matter how long you want us to wait, we can do it. We don't die from it. It's hard. It's bad against the flesh, but we can do it, sweetheart. And you know something? If God doesn't want me to be there with you when you're having your vacation, sweetheart, you can do it. You can do it, baby. You can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. And you've done it before. You'll do it again. However, whatever it is God wants us to go through, I just feel this. We can do this no matter what. We don't have to keep worrying and fretting about it. You know, we can do this. God is with us, baby. And we're suffering for other people, sweetheart. Just like that, you know, this passage I'm getting ready to read to you says, you know, I mean, it's just, we are living for something bigger than ourselves. We're living for the love of God. Today's memory verses for me, the Lord showed me 701, and it was all about loving God. And man, baby, I tell you what, it just touched my heart. In fact, I want to read those scriptures to you. It just reminds me. It's just like, even me, I need to be reminded what this whole thing is about. It's about us loving God. And that means to obey him no matter what and sacrificing our life for him, sweetheart. You know, it's not just about you and I being together. And I just, it's like I'm, for some reason, it's easy to say this along the way. But man, I tell you, I'm feeling it in my heart. You and I are just such a bonus. We can live without each other. We don't want to. But you can live without me and I can live without you. We cannot live without God. We cannot live without his grace. We cannot live without his spirit. We cannot live without his word. We cannot live without his person. We cannot live without his redemption, without his salvation. We cannot live without God. I mean, I can't even live in this life without him, much less the life to come. Neither can you. Baby, honestly, sweetheart, if we have God, we have everything we need. We have more than we need. I want you to know I'm not saying this because I don't love you and adore you and desire you more than anything I've ever desired on this earth, obviously. But sweetheart, we can get along. We are getting along without each other. I mean, the Lord has been so pleased to give us this daily interaction. I'm so thankful that the Lord has never told us to set that down. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. He gave this to us. We have this beautiful love relationship and friendship, and it's incredible. It's incredible, sweetheart. I mean, but we cannot live without him, baby. And it's so easy to, in the nature, slip into getting our needs met from the gift rather than the giver. And we can never do that. We're never going to find in each other what we so desire, and that can only come from God. In fact, if you were to take the grace of God, you know this, away from either of us, neither one of us would be very lovable within a very short period of time. Everything I love so much in you is what Jesus Christ has done in you. It goes back to why I originally said, oh, I would never marry a woman who looked like that. Because I judged that if you looked like that on the outside, you would be very shallow spiritually on the inside. Because most people who look like you pretty on the outside are shallow on the inside. And that shows, obviously you contradict this. Hence, I always say your inside completely contradicts your outside. But sticking with the point, if you take away this grace, honey, we are nothing. We're nothing, baby. And this is just so beautiful what we have. So beautiful what we have, darling, to the praise of God. You are beautiful because of Jesus in you and how you've yielded yourself to him. And you're uniquely beautiful because God made you unique. So it's not like you're just a spitting image of Jesus. You are unique in Jesus. You're a facet of the whole. And you're a beautiful facet, sweetheart. You're beautiful, baby. I love the uniqueness of God in you. I love the uniqueness of you that has been grown in Christ, built up in Christ, conformed in Christ, made gorgeous in Christ. He's our everything, baby. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Maybe we have found his commands, we have obeyed them. We love him. And because we have loved him, we are loved by God the Father. And Jesus also loves us and shows himself to us. He has manifested himself to us. The creator of the universe, the only one in whom we can ever have any rest and security in shutting our eyes in this life through death and opening them in the life to come. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching." If you see how black and white that is, you can basically tell every single Christian, carnal, counterfeit, professing, what have you. We can basically say, this is what Jesus Christ said. He said, if you do not love him, you will not obey his teaching. And so when you are not being humble, when you are not being poor in spirit, when you are not striving to enter the narrow gate, when you are not putting down the misdeeds of the body, the lusts of the eyes and the flesh, when you are not taking up your cross and denying yourself, when you're not letting go of your love of money, when you're not denying yourself, losing your life in this world to keep it for the life to come, hating your life in this world, losing your life, when you're not doing all these things that Jesus taught, then you can know you do not love him. Pretty amazing, huh? I mean, it's just that simple. People can say, oh, Jesus did it all. That's not what he said. You'll never see him saying that anywhere. He says, it is finished. He didn't say, I did it all and you don't have to do anything. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. It comes down to the fact that you don't love God. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. So these are the words of God. Mark 12:30, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. There's nothing on this earth I would rather have than you. No person on this earth I love more than you. I'm loving you with everything I have, and yet I love God more to the point where I'm suffering my want of you because of my love for him. And as are you with me, not because we don't have any choice. You see, God is proving, sweetheart, that you and I love him more than we love each other, that we fear him, and we know that we have no us without him. This is so important for us to actually be able to be an example of for other people. To help people see that no matter how much you may love and desire a person or a thing that God has given you on this earth, you can never put that thing above him. And you shouldn't, but your flesh wants to. So I just feel like over this last year, we've really, really gotten to a place, it just feels like, where we can say we perseveringly, sacrificially loved the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, to the point of it costing us dearly. We could have easily put you on a plane a long time ago. Now you know we could have taken the money for the passport. And we didn't. There's something so beautiful about this. We are in possession to the praise of His holy name. Even though we're suffering in our nature, in our emotions, we are putting down the flesh and subordinating it to the Spirit. We are Galatians 5:17. We have the conflict between the sinful nature, our nature, the flesh, and the Spirit. And they are in conflict with one another, and we are not doing what we want. What we want is to have been together week one. And here we are, 53, 54, I don't know, 55 weeks. I can't remember how long it is now, but you know, think about it. We're all these weeks later, and we're still putting our, when you think about 1 year being 52 weeks, that's a lot. You think of 1 year, you're like, yeah, that's not so bad. But when you think of how long a week is, when you're in this in love, a week apart from your lover is horrible. Ask anybody who's in love to send off their mate for a week. And yet we've been doing this for over, 50 some odd weeks. It's remarkable. And it proves, honey, that we love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. You see, baby, it's like God is actually even refining not just our faith, but refining our love for Him. He's causing us to understand the need. Man cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And why do we do this? Because we love Him. You love Him so much. He answers your prayers. He provides for you. He's taking care of you. He's giving you a hope of eternity. He's such an amazing God, sweetheart. He's forgiven you of all your sins. He's an amazing God. And then He gives you this husband. He gives you a hope after all the hopelessness. And you see, He has to know that He can give us this thing that we've desired so much for so long, 21 years of peace. You and I suffered the want of a good, godly, comfortable, edifying, protective sanctuary of marriage. For 21 years, we wanted that. And then many years apart, many years outside of that, we still longed for that, meaning while we were single. And it's created such a desire in us, partly for how God made us wired. You know how you and I are wired so incredibly similar and so passionate to be in love with each other. So you can see that before God can give us this, He had to make sure that we wouldn't lose Him in it. Not that we wouldn't lose ourselves, but we wouldn't lose Him. And we would really know through experience that we will not put it or us ahead of Him, that we will not love each other or our marriage more than Him. You remember the Deuteronomy 8:10 that He shows us so often. When you have entered into the land and have eaten and are satisfied, be careful not to forget the Lord your God. Sweetheart, you know that all this suffering of getting to a place where you basically give up on the gift. You re-surrender the gift. You let it go. You open up your hands on it. Remember how Jay and Kay talked about the house? They wanted that house so bad, and then they lost all hope for even getting it. That puts that house, it's like insurance. It puts it in a very different place in their heart before God. And as does this time of waiting and drawing this promise out, it has done such a beautiful work of literally not releasing our desires, our hopes, our gratitude for this gift, but it has been an insurance program of making sure that that thing does not get into the throne of God's seat in our heart. How beautiful. It's like God has been not only refining the faith, not only testing and proving the faith, but he's been ensuring the faith and ensuring that the gift will not become the head of the giver. I mean, sweetheart, I have never been loved by anybody like you, and I've never loved anybody like I love you. I told you many, many, many months ago, we could get lost in this. I said we have to be so careful. We could lose ourselves in this. And I've prayed, God, don't let me, because it's so good, honey. We've never seen anything like this, right? This is extraordinary. And we haven't even been able to touch each other yet. So you can see God needed to give us an insurance program. He needed to give us time for the flesh to give up its hold a little bit and to reposition this thing and keep God in heaven above and see that God is supreme in every day of our relationship. That he is king. He's not just giving this to us and saying, okay, kids, enjoy, have at it. Forget about me. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. It's 8:01 right now as I look up. Be very careful to obey me so that you may enter in and enjoy the good land. Possess the good land I'm giving you. Yes, Lord. You see, and we're being very careful to obey him, not just because of the land, but because we love him. The land is only good because of his goodness. This thing that you and I have, we only have it because he gave it to us. And it's only good because of him. Everything is because of him. You know, I've said this many times. The only parts about me that you say are amazing are of Jesus Christ. The only parts about you that are amazing are of Jesus Christ. The land is only good because it is blessed of God. The land itself points to the goodness of God. How terrifying and cruel and wrong is it for us to lose ourselves in something that is good, forgetting that it is only good because of the only one who is truly good? And yet, the nature can do that. The nature can so forget God. Baby, you see the command? When you have entered into the land and have eaten and are satisfied, be careful not to forget the Lord your God. That land is only blessed and good because God made it that way. I find myself thinking this a lot about you and I. When I think about how much we're enjoying this relationship, I often immediately make the connection. It's only because it's being sustained like this by the good grace of the good God. We've seen it. We've seen where each one of us has taken a dive in some way, you know, and then we get lifted back up by what? The grace of God. The only reason you and I are loving each other like we are is because of the good grace of God making the land good. May it be in Jesus' name. We always remember this. 1 Corinthians 8:3, but the man who loves God is known by God. He knows us, baby. He knows us. 1 Corinthians 16:22, listen to this. If anyone does not love the Lord, a curse be on him. And what does it mean to love the Lord our God? This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Now, I just want to read this whole passage to you from 1 John in the Living Bible. It's so simple and so beautiful, and I'll end it here. I was going to read you the whole chapter, but I'll just read this first part. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, praise his holy name, that he is God's Son and your Savior, and I would add, if I were writing this, your Lord, but it's obvious, you know, if we confess him as Lord, then you are a child of God. And all who love the Father love his children too. So you can find out how much you love God's children. your brothers and sisters in the Lord by how much you love and obey God. Well, this has special meaning for me because, and you, I say as a minister, I am obeying God, and all of my obedience really is being directed towards loving other people. And as I've made mention multiple times in my recordings over the last few months, everything that you and I are going through is more so for God's children even than it is for us. It's for us because we are God's children, but it's much more because there's more of them than there are us for them. The lessons, the example, the encouragement, the inspiration to walk through the days ahead as a persevering, overcoming Christian, that all these lessons that we're going through, particularly you, are for the benefit and encouragement of other people. So you can see, you can find out how much you love God's children, your brothers and sisters in the Lord, by how much you love and obey God. You see, because this implies that obedience to God is almost always going to have its outcome in doing something good to other people, whether it's you're forgiving them and you're letting God be their judge, that God may be merciful to them, or that God may judge them, but you're loving God enough to obey Him, and some good of God will go towards that person. Loving God means doing what He tells us to do, and really, that isn't hard at all. For every child of God can obey Him, defeating sin and evil pleasure by trusting Christ to help him. And that's exactly what we're doing. Loving God means doing what He tells us to do. And really, that isn't hard at all. Now look at this. How many people profess to be Christians and they can't even hear God speak clearly in the words of Jesus Christ and the commands that Jesus Christ spoke, which are the words of God, they ignore and they think, oh, that was just for the Jews. Jesus did it all on the cross. We don't have to obey. How foolish. Loving God means doing what He tells us to do. No, it doesn't, the Apostle John. Loving God means just believing Jesus Christ came and died and rose again. Oh, John, you need to stop striving so hard, man. You need to take it easy and trust in the grace of God who did it all. Jesus did it all, Apostle John. You're a heretic, Apostle John. I don't want to go too far with this and ruin a good recording, but you know what I mean. You see this? Loving God means doing what He tells us to do. And maybe we're not only doing what He tells us to do in the Word, we're doing what He's telling us to do in His personal will, and we're hearing from Him, John 8:47. Praise His holy name. Father in heaven, we love You, and we willingly present our bodies as a living sacrifice to You in view of Your mercy, holy and pleasing to You, God, because in view of Your mercy, we love You, and that love evokes a desire to obey You and to serve You. This is love for God, to obey His commands. Lord, we want to continue to love You. Help us by Your grace, Jesus Christ, to continue to put down the flesh, not be afraid, not let the flesh whisper to us, oh, time's passing by, your life is being wasted, you're both getting so old, it's not going to be as enjoyable, it's not going to be this, it's not going to be this, it's going to take forever, you're going to suffer so long. Lord, so be it. May Your will be done. The truth is, God, we get to eat glory crumbs, but we don't get to tell You when we eat them. We don't get to tell You how many crumbs there are. We are wanting to eat You, God. You are our first desire. Our first hunger and thirst is for You, the living God. May it be this way always and forever, Lord. May it not be that we ever treat our marriage in such a way that we stand ashamed and You having lost You somehow or another in the gift. No, God. And we thank You for all this time that You've caused us to wait. We thank You for Your wisdom, Lord, even though it's so painful to the flesh, even though there's so much suffering, God. We thank You for giving us the grace to even believe these things that we speak and the things that we are now striving in, Father, to keep our flesh down, to keep patiently waiting, to keep saying, our God will come. Our God will come with vengeance and with divine retribution. He will save us. Our God will come and give back to us all that the locusts have eaten. Our God will come and the threshing floor will be stopped. There'll be no more threshing of the wheat. Our God will come. And He will say, The dark night of the soul is over. Enough is enough. Our God will come and declare an end to the fast. And he will look at us and say, eat, my children, to your heart's content. Eat the richest of fare that you have purchased, not with money, but by obedience and the good grace of your God upon you. Eat and be satisfied. Be filled with joy and praise me in the good land I am giving you. Oh, God in heaven, and he will say to us, and remember, this is only a token. It's only a small pledge of what I plan to give to you and to all of mine who overcome this world, their flesh, and Satan in the world to come. Remember this token. Remember what it feels like to eat of this good gift when I bring you into this land, and how much your hearts delight. And understand, it is not possible for you to understand how much more you will take delight once you get to eat and taste of the heavenly gift above on the other side of your death of this physical life. What you will experience, the rapture of soul, when there is no more encumbrances of the sinful nature of this world or Satan standing between you and I. Oh God in heaven, let it be that we always remember this, Lord, as we delight in the good land and we eat of this good fruit, of this good vine you've given us in this marriage, that it's a foretaste. Oh God in heaven, help us to communicate to people. God, as we taste and see that the Lord is so good, even more so, God, as we taste this rapturous delight of the good things that you've prepared for those who love you and fear you, that we would be able to somehow convey this, Father God, to those who are suffering now, God, for the life to come, that they would be able to see just a little while longer and you'll be lifted up into a glory. You'll be lifted up in rapturous delight to a love, to an indescribable happiness. God, help us to give people a picture with our marriage delight, that this will come to all who suffer. Not the marriage in this life, but the marriage to come. That our marriage indeed is a type of the enduring, suffering, overcoming bride of the end times, and what her reward will be on the other end of this. Father, I pray that Lisa delights in her reward when you tell me that it's time for me to go to her. And God, I pray, Father, that we just praise you the whole way. Oh, Lord in heaven, and that we just remember this is only a picture of what is to come. This is not the end for us. It's just a token. It's just a sample. And that you would have us turn and tell people how good this is, that they may know if this on this earth is this good. For all good gifts come down from the Father of lights. No man can receive anything except by that which is given to him from heaven. And if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who love him? How much more, if this is a good gift on earth, will it be a good gift to those who are the overcomers in heaven? Help us to convey that, God, to the strengthening of the saints. Makes me think, Lord, when you said, oh, little children, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. See, we haven't understood how good the kingdom is. We haven't understood how good the prize at the end of this life is. We're all still so desiring in the flesh the goodness down here to have two heavens, heaven here and heaven there. Oh, God in heaven, praise your holy name, Lord, that we may testify, Father, to the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living is only a tiny fraction of what will come on the other side of the lifting up, the great lifting up. Father, we thank you so much for our marriage. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your incredible mercy. Thank you for forgiving us our sins, Lord, when we sin against you. Thank you for forgiving us of our moments of unbelief or moments of disobedience. Thank you for being merciful to us, God. We know that we will not inherit this blessing because of our righteousness, but because of yours. We will not inherit heaven because of our righteousness, but because of yours. We must yield to your righteousness. We cannot trample your righteousness, neglect it, take it for granted, assume that you did it all. We must yield ourselves to you, Father. But God, we thank you in Jesus' name that in spite of the fact that there is still dross in us, in spite of the fact, God, that we still have sin in this body, corruption that you've been pleased to leave. Nevertheless, you count us as righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. You've justified us, O God in heaven, by the sin that he took upon himself on the cross and the blood that he shed. Oh, my God in heaven, thank you for washing us in the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for what the apostle taught, that if we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. God, help us to walk in the light. Help us to walk in your obedience as we love you, Lord. We love you. God, we delight in you, Father. I just want to thank you for this beautiful moment, Lord, where after all this suffering, God, and there's times our flesh has wanted to wage war against you and say you've been cruel to us. And there's so many times that Satan has whispered into our ears that you do not love us, that you have forsaken us, perhaps that you're even punishing us. He's tried to skew your image in our hearts, Lord. He's tried to accuse you. God, we know again, Lord, we know by faith this is not true. These things are not true, Lord. You have been so perfect in your parenting. You've been building an insurance program. God, I just feel like I could praise you forever. I love what your servant Zach Poonen said, that he taught that the hardest thing for you to do in the whole world is to keep a man humble after he blesses him. And Lord, I feel that's going to be so much easier now. You waited until we were so exhausted to where we were just beat down, to where the flesh just couldn't hold on anymore and the hands just opened up. You've brought us to this place, Lord, I heard Charles Stanley called it submissive neutrality. I believe that word just comes to me now, and it's just this opening of the hands, submissive neutrality. And it's like what George Mueller taught. He has no will of his own. He learns to just say, Lord, I have no will of my own, just what you will. And Lord, we've done that too. We've brought ourselves to this place where we have no will of our own, except to just, Lord, your will be done. We have a desire, we do, but we continue to put that desire down. Oh, Father in heaven, holy and hallowed and set apart be your good and glorious name. Thank you, Father, for forgiving us of all the times our flesh has questioned you, doubted you, God, all the times, Lord, of me walking back and forth in this prison here that I'm in. It's a nice prison, but it's a prison. I'm trapped. And the accusing thoughts of Satan come, or my flesh. Thank you for forgiving us, O God in heaven, for sinning against you as we have. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for not taking away this good gift. Thank you for giving us chance after chance. Thank you for helping us to continually just bring our spirits low and in this humiliation, Lord God, to accept this cross and to deny ourselves this, Lord. Thank you that you've kept us, Father, from manipulating the circumstances, Lord, and trying to work this out on our own. Thank you for helping us to deny our bodies the pain relief that it so desires, Father God, by speaking about the physical part of our life to come. Thank you, Father, for even causing us to deny ourselves that, Lord. It's going to be so much more special knowing that we're not cheating. We're not trying to, you know, open up a package, a corner of the present to look and see, or we're not trying to turn just a corner of the stone into bread. Thank you, God, for teaching us the need to persevere through the wilderness, Lord God, and to not turn the stone into bread, to not try to satisfy ourselves, but to be willing to be obedient unto death, to be willing to be obedient, to suffer like we have, God. Suffer such want. And I thank you, Father, for you making it last as long as you have. And no matter how long you make it last, God, I just see that even now, it's like a new looking back, a new altitude, a new height we reached on the mountain of which to turn around and look back and see all that the Lord has done is good. Thank you, Father, for helping us to see all that looked so painful and made no sense along the way has turned out to be so good. All the 21 dates that came and went that we, by your providence, believed and hoped and had so much faith that we just knew and believed you would come and deliver us, Lord, and you didn't. And here we stand, still hoping, still believing, still persevering, and yet there is less of us, less death grip on the gift. less flesh getting in the way, less having the gift potentially sit on the throne of our hearts. God, you've been so wise, Lord. You looked at this beautiful gift that you gave us, indescribable, one we've never seen before. And you said, oh, I'm going to need to do some extra waiting, some extra suffering on this to keep these children from being spoiled by the gift, to keep them from losing me in the gift. Oh God, we fully surrender our hearts. We thank you. God, I just thank you for this moment now, this rest of heart, rest of peace of soul and spirit. What a beautiful, Father, there is just such a sense of we did it. Not to declare that you won't make us wait longer, but God, we have done it so far. We've made it to this moment, all the testing, all the waiting. My God, how beautiful. How beautiful has been your glorious grace and Spirit's work. You took something that was so beautiful already in the natural and you've made it gorgeous and spiritual. I thank you for my bride. Thank you for teaching me to wait for you to say you may go and have your bride. Thank you for making me wait so long. Thank you for doing this so differently than what you did with P the apostate, Lord. Although you gave her to me in one day, God, you've given me such a completely different experience with Lisa. And my God, how I praise you for it. I thank you for the picture of what P represented, God. And I thank you even more for the picture of what Lisa represents, God. The overcoming, persevering bride who is faithful all the way to the end, who overcomes her time in the wilderness, who makes it through her time of testing, whose love is proven true. God, I thank you for my Lisa. Thank you for her, and thank you for the amazing grace that you've given her. Thank you for all this suffering, God. May it be that it's a good example to others, Lord, that people will be strengthened to suffer following our example of denying themselves, even in the face of such intense desire, in the face of such intense satanic attack, in the face of such intense screaming and demands of the flesh. May they be willing to suffer day after day, week after week, month after month, as long as it takes. Thank you for this, God. Thank you for getting us to this place right now, Lord, where we have held the gift loosely. We opened up our fingers. We're not trying to control the gift anymore. We're allowing the giver to control the gift. The Lord gives, the Lord controls, the Lord directs, the Lord sustains, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How we pray, Lord, that you see that we love you by our obedience, Lord. We pray that you are delighted in our love. And God, how we pray you will be delighted to put Lisa and I together. God, I just pray that it brings you so much joy to be the father who gets to give his daughter and son in marriage, to say the time has come. Go eat and drink and be satisfied. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.